This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. Do you have a plumbing emergency? Call Four Seasons. An electrical emergency? Call Four Seasons. A heating or cooling emergency? Call Four Seasons. Same day hot water tank installation needed? Call Four Seasons. Need a whole home generator? Call Four Seasons. We guarantee same day installation on all heating, cooling, plumbing, and electrical needs. And no extra charge for nights, weekends, or holidays.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Felt like a little Ben Harper today.
I like him.
Oh, yeah, he's great. Really, really good live in concert for sure. Used to be married to Laura Dern. I don't know if he still is.
Into Nashville, Tennessee.
It's a great song, Steal My Kisses. Puts me in a good mood here on this Wednesday afternoon. We have Sue's News coming up here in just a second. I have some tickets to give away for Brian Kilmeade. We're very excited about this. When is Brian going to be with us? Is he on tomorrow, Fred, or do we not know?
Yeah, we're doing them tomorrow night at 5:07.
A little rare. We usually do Wednesday, Thursday. I was out yesterday, and Brian not available today. But he is coming back to St. Louis. We've hosted him the past couple of Christmas seasons, if you will, Decembers. He did not come this past December, didn't have a new book out, but he's doing more of a variety show, and it's at the Factory. This is the biggest venue that he is doing the show at. We'll be out there, the 97.1 FM Talk team, March 22nd at the Factory in Chesterfield. If you're caller number six, I don't know why I picked that. I just did. On the contest line right now, Ethan will take your call. 314-241-9797. 241-9797. Caller number six is a winner. You're going to see Brian Kilmeade. And for those of you who are maybe personal friends of mine or relatives and you have asked me for tickets, you should call in right now because my allotment for tickets is not quite what I thought it was. I'm telling you, I've been hit up more on this deal than maybe any. Yeah.
That's great.
People love the guy. Well, I mean, the other thing about Brian is he works so hard. He is very entertaining. And I mentioned George Gray might even come in from the West
Coast.
That'd
be great.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. So, Fred, before I get to Sue's News, let me just mention this just because I find it interesting. And you are the – aren't you still technically – the Fred's got like 30 titles.
That's
here,
true. Right?
Are you the health editor of KMOX, right?
Right.
So have you done, I'm assuming, but I don't know because I don't listen to my former station anymore. Have you done a story on the flu season?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, like, couple things. I sent this to my friend Rick Niner in Las Vegas on Sunday. There's a site that I follow out there called Las Vegas Locally, which has all kinds of fun stuff and, you know, tweets about Las Vegas, whether it's a resort that's not making money like Resorts World today or something else. But they sent something out on Sunday that said there's a weird, quote, flu, unquote, ripping through Las Vegas that's knocking people out of commission for weeks, often turning into pneumonia. Patients test negative for COVID and influenza. Some are calling it the cough. So there are things that are going on. I think one thing is happening. It is the flu. Like when people talk about the flu, this has always been Dr. Mark's pet peeve. The flu is not when you have diarrhea or you have a stomach virus and you're puking and it lasts for 24 or 48 hours. That is not the flu. The real flu rarely has gastro issues, aches and pains, headache, exhaustion, fatigue, and it could knock you down for a couple of weeks. Now, Fred, are you up to speed on the numbers right now with how many people? Like, the number of deaths right now across the country, 310,000 hospitalizations so far, 13,000 deaths, including 57 children. Hell, that's more than
COVID. Way more than COVID.
Yeah, right? With the kids in particular. So they say that this is on the rise in 45 states, noting high or very high influenza activity. I've been, like, my wife is kind of sick right now with more of a congestion issue. It doesn't seem to be like body ache, but I know a lot of people have gotten whacked with this, right? And it's going around the schools for sure, too. We've been notified by Rockwood, and I think a lot of these kids are getting it, too. So it's one of those things. Now, I will say this. I don't know if you've had physicians tell you this, but I've had doctors say, to a certain extent, we've done this to ourselves. You know, we kept ourselves so isolated, masked, all this other stuff. We've lost some of the immunity for these other things that, you know, right, are in our environment and in the air. So if you're sick, you're not alone. There's a lot of people out there going through it right now. Tomorrow, we did get our winner, by the way, I think. We'll have more
we
tickets
did?
Tomorrow.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to assume, because if he hasn't answered
the sixth call
by now, we need a new producer. I'll just say that. Paul Morrow's coming up at 4:25. Scott Jennings at 5:07. We'll talk real estate with Neil Gelman at 5:25. But tomorrow's roundtable should be awesome. I want to give a shout out to Steve Butts, who's a state representative. When I was up on the, I want to say Capitol Hill, but the Jefferson City, our state capitol yesterday, I met with Governor Kehoe, and then Steve was there, even though the House had, like, technically a snow day, the wimps in the House of Representatives. But Steve Butts was there, and he gave me a great tour, and we had lunch. I saw Jeff Smith up there, another roundtable participant, met with Andrew Bailey yesterday as well. But Steve was awesome, and I want to thank him. I even saw him at the game last night. He was at the Mizzou game as well. And
do they live up there?
They got an apartment. They have apartments. Huh. Like, you know, some of the guys in Washington, like Shimkus and Rodney Davis, I think they had roommates. Like, remember with Rodney, Steve Scalise, I think, was his roommate, you know, when all right. that happened with the shooting. Paul Ryan used to sleep in his office. So some people sleep in their offices, and he'd get up every morning, he'd go to the gym, and then, you know, shower down there. So it just depends. But in Jeff City, I think some of them have apartments just part-time, for sure. All right, you ready for Sue's News on a Thursday?
Oh, yeah.
Let's do it.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
Sue managed to not send herself the news she wrote this morning and is scrambling like a mad woman.
I noticed
over here.
When I was talking about all this stuff, you seemed a little distracted, but these things happen, right?
Yeah, they do.
Are we okay?
Sadly, they happen more often than I would like. But yes, we are okay. And we're going to start on this day in history with some Led Zeppelin. Because, you guys, 53 years ago today, in 1972, Led Zeppelin was forced to cancel their Singapore concert. And you think, okay, well, what is it this time? Did they come off the plane right. or something? When officials refused to let them off the plane because of their long hair. 1972, Singapore said, nope, sorry, Led Zeppelin. Did they not see photos of them in advance?
Well, what were you expecting?
Is it going to get a haircut?
Wasn't Singapore where they used to cane
yes,
you for certain
things? Yes,
oh,
it is.
My
yeah.
goodness,
but,
yeah.
you know, seriously, any rock star in 1972 had
yes!
hair past their shoulders,
yes!
right?
So that's I don't know how they were surprised or whether they had sent him a letter in advance saying, you people better cut your hair before if you want to perform. Nope. And then I had not heard this. Tell me if you've heard this. 27 years ago today, in 1998, the Eagles sued the National Foundation to Protect America's Eagles, claiming that the organization infringed on the band's name and image. Guess
That's
what? Guess
crazy.
Who came first? Not you. Eagles in America. Their phone number was 1-800-2-EAGLES and www.eagles.com. And Don Henley was saying, oh, what this is going to do? You have to. They eventually dropped the suit. I believe lawyers got to him and said, what is the matter with you?
Nah, no
you
kidding.
Don't own eagles when you're talking about the bird.
Well, they tried.
Yeah, they did. All right, this is a big deal. Oh, you know that the first, the biggest selling vehicle in America for years, at least 40 years, has been the F series, the F-150 Ford. Well, it was first introduced 77 years ago, and seriously, for four decades, nothing has come close. Well, according to new data, The Toyota RAV4 has displaced the Ford F-150 as the best-selling vehicle in America. A decades-long thing has come to an end. Toyota sold more than 475,000 units of the RAV4 last year, edging out the F-150, which came in second after selling just under 461,000. And I'll tell you what, those trucks cost a lot right now. I mean, it's nuts.
Well, I remember, and this goes back maybe 15 years, being at a car dealer, maybe even doing, you know, a personal appearance or a remote or something like that. And I saw the price tags. And again, this was like 15 years ago. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
But what's interesting is that the RAV4 does not have those price tags. So this is a bit of more of an economical, you know, value.
Exactly.
It's a smaller SUV. It's, you know, I love Toyota. I have a 4Runner. It's a great brand. So it's a really, really good vehicle, but it also is in a completely different price point. So I wonder if it's the inflation issue.
Well, that could be. It's also, you know, ladies like to drive it, and a lot of women's are driving.
Well, I don't want to say it. It's kind of a chick car. Yes,
it's a total chick car. That's what Michael said this morning. Did a chick car overcome it? All right, here are the top 10 in sales last year. Number 10, the GMC Sierra 1500. Number 9 was the Honda Civic. 8, the Nissan Rogue. 7, the Corolla. 6, the Camry. Number 5, Chevrolet Silverado 1500. So still a couple major trucks in there. Number 4, the Tesla Model Y. Number 3, Honda CR-V. They're everywhere. And then the F-150 and the RAV4.
I think if you were to have quizzed me on that and said, what has surpassed the F-150, I don't think I would have guessed the RAV4.
I thought the Tesla was pretty high.
Yeah. Well, there are a couple, too. If you keep going down to 20. Yeah, the CR-V I see everywhere.
I think I see more of those than
I think so, too.
You know, this is one of those things, like, when you're made aware of something, then you're going to drive home and like, oh, yeah, that's right, they're every other car.
That's exactly right. All right, nominees for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Class of 2025 announced yesterday. This year's first-timers are Bad Company. I think we have a little of that.
Oh, I'm so glad about this because this is Paul Rodgers and Bad Company, one of the favorite bands I had in the 70s. I played a little Bad Company last week on the bumper music, and I think they absolutely belong, for sure. They were a very powerful big band in the mid-70s to late 70s, and, you know, not something that had a lot of staying power over the years. Paul Rodgers went on to do different things, sang with Queen, etc., but I love this. And by the way, Sue, we're going to talk about this with Tim Sommer, our music guy, tomorrow, all the nominees.
Oh, are we? That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I was going to just hit a few. Okay. We got Bad Company, Black Crowes, Joe Cocker, Billy Idol. And I figured we're going to play this because finally Chubby Checker has made it.
Yeah. Tim sent me the list and I hadn't seen it.
Come on, baby.
And I couldn't believe that Chubby Checker was not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Yeah.
Well, apparently he's really, really wanted to be with in it. And he's still with us. He's 83 years old.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I know. He's been living off two hits, really, for the past 60 years, and this is one of them. The Twist, and Let's Twist Again, like we did last summer.
I'll be curious to see. You know, Tim can be a little stickler on the requirements and who gets into the Rock Hall of Fame. And, you know, two hits is a big deal. It's hard to have one hit.
True.
But, you know, I don't know what the other qualifications
are. Is it just that it's made it into society's, you know...
I think so.
...collective...
Right, because
memory.
You know, you talk about those two songs. They're iconic songs, right?
Yeah, they are. Well, listen to this. He took out a full-page ad in Billboard in 2001 trying to get in to the Hall of Fame.
Wow.
In 2002, he protested outside the induction ceremony when he didn't get in. And the rest of the nominees are Mariah Carey, Joy Division, New Order, Cyndi Lauper, Oasis, etc. We'll talk more about that tomorrow.
Yeah.
Fred, you did not have to campaign to get into the Hall of Fame. I want to point that out.
That's true.
No. He just was.
Yeah. There's still like Iron Maiden's not in there. There's still a couple of bands that I think, and Tim will point to this tomorrow. But you know what? Oh, the crowd didn't like that at all.
No.
They were really.
Mm-mm.
But you know what's interesting is because of the politics of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Jan Wenner and everything, you're going to have people that just will not go in. For example, my dear friend, Uncle Ted Nugent. But here's what's interesting. Like, you know that Trump's kind of taken over the Kennedy Center Honors. Wouldn't it be awesome to have Nuge do the Kennedy Center Honors? That would blow some heads up, I think. Look forward to that. We'll see if it happens.
Oh, that's interesting.
I know, right? I'm actually surprised he hasn't gotten a cabinet position.
Well, when he talks about it tomorrow, I remember Tim talking me off the ledge because I don't think Mariah Carey is a rock and roll act.
Nor do I.
And I don't really understand that. Why don't they just start the Pop Hall of Fame? Well, and
yeah, because you know, what? Diana Ross would probably be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
I know. I get it.
Because there's a lot that should be but aren't, because it's not rock and roll. George Strait's shows last year with Chris Stapleton were so successful, they've announced an additional 5 stadium shows for this year. George said, I keep trying to slow down a bit, but you keep calling me back. Please don't ever stop. I still love it. But they are not coming here. It looks like it's mainly Philadelphia, Buffalo, Massachusetts, and then randomly Inglewood, California.
I mean, they were playing huge, huge stadiums last year. Didn't they set
enormous.
A record down in Texas or
yes,
something?
Yes, they did. Thank you for remembering that. That was, of course, in Sue's News. All right. And I didn't mention this the other day, but since we were talking about country, the 2025 CMT Awards have been canceled by Paramount.
What?
Yep. They are merging with Skydance Media, and the deal won't be completed for another couple months. Officially, the show is on pause until they reevaluate for next year.
That's weird, though.
Yeah. I know.
That's a pretty big deal every year.
Yeah. I'm not sure that that's the whole... I feel like we have part of that story.
Yeah, might be more to it.
And finally, in Sue's News, we have today's random fact, and this completely... Okay. Michael Jackson really wanted to play Spider-Man in a movie. But he knew he'd never get cast. So in the 90s, he actually tried to buy Marvel Comics to make it happen and put himself in as Spider-Man. But it never happened. And that's it.
If you're Michael Jackson and you want to be Spider-Man, that's not a bad strategy. Uh-huh. If you think about it, that would have been very interesting. I think I'll use that word and I'll just keep it at that.
I would have gone to that movie just to see what was happening.
Well, that's a good point. I think the curiosity factor would have gotten the best of us. Paul Morrow, coming up here on 97.1 FM Talk.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Jennings, after 5 o'clock, it's been a bit since we've caught up with him. Also, Neil Gelman from the Gelman team, kind of catching up on the real estate market as we head into spring. Plus, I will have an audio cut of the day. We have a roundtable tomorrow that will feature our friend Jane Duker, State Rep Steve Butts, and I was hanging with him in the Capitol yesterday. And we have one more person. Oh, Sean Flower. Can't forget Mayor Flower down in Eureka. Always a great participant here on the roundtable. He's a veteran. He'll be here as well. We have Cusimano and Paul Hall in the 4 o'clock hour. We'll talk some entertainment and sports. Brian Kilmeade, a rare Friday appearance, but he will be with us. And then we'll talk Rock and Roll Hall of Fame with Tim Summer tomorrow night as well. We have not caught up with Paul Morrow for a while, Fox News contributor, retired NYPD inspector, and founder of the opsdesk.org. Paul, how are you this afternoon?
I'm good, Mark. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. Let me just start with your impressions of Doge and everything that's going on with that and the hyperventilating that's going on the other side.
Well, you know, when Donald Trump first came on the scene politically, you got to remember, those of us in New York grew up with him. And I'll admit there was a little bit of sort of, you know, felt like the ground shifted under your feet. You know, I remember saying, Donald Trump's going to be the candidate? Really?
Yeah.
Donald Trump from here, New York? And then, of course, you started to see that he was up in the polls on the, you know, on the Republican side. And somebody said something to me very wise that has stayed with me all this time. I was skeptical about Trump's ability to win and whether or not, you know, he'd have the policy chops and et cetera. Obviously, I was quite wrong. Guy said to me, you know what, Paul, he's making all the right enemies. And that really struck home to me, because if you really drill down, who Trump targets is really the most telling thing about him, in my estimation. And this Doge stuff is, you know, exhibit A. Because every day there's another horrific example of how our money has not only been used, you know, in very just sort of casual ways at best, but also it has been used to thwart what I think most Americans on both sides would say are common sense policies. It's really enabled the Democrats, and I would argue the real progressives, to weaponize government against us.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's awesome what's being exposed right now. And, you know, there's a lot of panic. I do think, and we've already seen examples, I've mentioned this a couple of times, there was some spigots that were turned off that got turned back on because it was important to do so. So they're going to look and maybe take a closer look at some of these things. But let's face it, when you start getting Carolyn Leavitt read some of these, you know, unbelievable, whether it's 32,000 or 57,000 or 5 million or, you know, 50 million, it's still a waste of taxpayer dollars. And the American people are kind of sick of that.
A metric I always use, Mark, is I say to myself, all right, you know what, in the scheme of the federal budget, is $200 million really that much money? And then I say to myself, think about how many cops you could hire for that.
Right.
Think how many, you know what I mean? Think about how many remedial reading teachers you could hire if we cared about reading and writing anymore in our education system. Think about how many firemen, think how many, you know, to fight fires in the Pacific Northwest and the Midwest where we have all these fire problems. You know, you can go down the line. It's just the frivolous use of our money has been shameful. The Democrats are really misreading the room. They think that if they get on the mic and scream loud enough, that somehow or other they're going to convince. And what they don't realize is that we're all sitting here saying to ourselves, what are you yelling about? You should be pleased that this has happened. Whoever would be upset about an audit that uncovers a ton of waste? And I would argue, you know, I don't want to say fraud, but I would argue corruption, Washington style. which doesn't necessarily mean that the people in government are lining their pockets, although we God knows what will be uncovered here, but just favored parties existing and growing ever larger on the overgenerosity of a particular Democratic Party, and we're all paying for it.
You know, I had go back and forth on the ex formerly Twitter on some stuff. And, you know, on Doge, I got people that are in the camp that, oh, you know, this is Elon. He's an unelected bureaucrat. All this nonsense that we're hearing, blah, blah, blah. And you're right. The Democrats have taken the wrong size of this. But all you have to do is just kind of search waste in government and you'll turn up $9 billion from an IRS website that is from all of the CARES Act. And that was from March of last year. So you look at Medicaid. They're going to look at Medicare. There's a lot of fraud, like billions of dollars worth of fraud. And that's money that's supposed to go to people that need it. And they're not talking about keeping that money from people. But, you know, when all is said and done here, I don't know how much accounting we will have. But I'm just going to be glad that a lot of this is exposed. And we've been asking for Congress to vote on some of these things independently, not bundled up into big, you know, packages where they have amendments and earmarks and stuff like that. And that's what's happened. We've accumulated this over the course of years and decades.
I actually think that we are maybe even missing an opportunity. That is, the right is. And I think I advocated for this, you know, mentioned my my Substack, the Ops Desk, and I did a video last night. I think what they should do is make this really user-friendly and really palpable to the American public. If I were sitting where Donald Trump is, I'd get a couple of people together, put together a team. I would get a special prosecutor named, which he can do, Bondi can do that, and get a grand jury. Now, you want to start arresting people? No, not necessarily. But you can do a grand jury at the federal level to issue a report. Just that. And but what, the reason it matters is you can get people in under oath. And then the whole thing, you take the report is public. Remember, grand jury minutes are always supposed to be secret. You can't see it. It's a felony to leak them. But a grand jury report is not secret. Get a grand jury together. Issue a report and put that report online and make it really friendly, like market it. You know what I mean? Get it in chapters, name the names. Let us know this person is the person who gave $2 million for a DEI play in Guatemala. Here's where the money went. And let us know who's at the other end of this or at both ends of this thing. And that should be like remember the 9/11 report? It came out in a book. You could get it anywhere. It was free, I think, you know.
Yeah, oh, I do.
They should
of course.
Put it out like that.
Yeah.
Put that thing out so everybody can see it and make it very reader-friendly. And I think the Dems almost will never recover because it's going to be so bad for them.
You know, we used to have Citizens Against Government Waste. They put out a pork report every year. Tom Coburn, who was a senator in Oklahoma, used to put out a, you know, kind of a pork report every year. So some of this stuff has been highlighted in different ways, if you will. But they're working at such a fast pace in Washington. They're uncovering so much of this stuff, Paul. I don't even know how you keep on top of it. So in the end, I don't know, you know, where these significant savings will be, because you do have to get something if you're trying to reduce $2 trillion. You're going to have to go into different areas. But look, they're being opened, and I think even Pete Hegseth and others are saying, let's look at the State Department. Let's look at the Defense Department. There's got to be fraud in those contracts as well.
Of course. Of course there is. I mean, you know, military contracts, That's kind of an old meme, right? We all know the way that they spend money. We know that contractors have this incestuous relationship. There's no bigger supporter of the military than I am. You know, my old man fought in Korea, et cetera. But that said, Pentagon spends money like it's water, and they went woke. I mean, God, that's one I didn't see coming. So I really do think, you know, in the pork report that you're talking about, you're absolutely right. It would come out every year. You'd read an article on it. You'd shake your head, and then you'd go on with your life. Nothing ever changed, and that's why you could put the report out every year. I'm not denigrating the work he did. Thank God for it. But if had he not done that, maybe Doge never happens because it never gets on anybody's radar screen. But this one feels like they're finally making moves. And it's because it's Donald Trump, and it's because he's got all the levers of power here. He's got the high ground. Godspeed to him.
Well, and it's like you referenced the 9/11 Commission, but we had the Grace Commission. We have Simpson Bowles. I paid a lot of attention 13, 14 years ago to the report that, you know, Alan Simpson did. And it was pretty important. But again, nothing ever got implemented. That's the deal.
Nothing changes.
Right. So that's why this is so refreshing. I had someone ask me yesterday, you really support this? I'm like, yes, I support it, because This is the only opportunity to peel some of this stuff back. And I think as you peel the onion back and you expose the specifics, that's where the people who are not fans of foreign aid to begin with, let's face it, that's not something that's going to poll well right now in this country. They're going to say, yeah, this is why we were against it in the first place, because we knew some of this was happening.
Absolutely. And, you know, I don't want to villainize anybody particularly, but you got to recognize that Samantha Power, who has been a longtime Democratic operative, you know, is it any when since when are we funding DEI operas or whatever that event was in Ireland? And it's not lost on me that Samantha Power grew up in Dublin, comes here. She is a diehard. She was in, you know, when she was the UN ambassador, somehow or other, she ends up implicated in Crossfire Hurricane. She was getting those reports, which really shouldn't even have been in her inbox. And all of a sudden, now you're finding out all this money's going out the door for all of these ludicrous objectives. Transgenderism in Peru. Who cares? It's there. They got their own country. What? You really think that the Peruvians want America to shove transgenderism down their throats here? These are, for the most part, these are Christian countries who are not going to be on board with that. And we're showing up as the ugly American. I'm sure that's how it's read. Yeah, and I'll tell you one last thing here. And I know this from the counterterrorism world. These NGOs in our country, they all have, in the same way banks have a correspondent bank overseas that they do business with, the NGOs have the same thing. And we have NGOs in this country, and I'm sorry to say, some of them go through the Catholic Church.
Oh, I know. They do.
They do. And I grew up Catholic, don't get me wrong. You know, and they did a lot of good, you know, in my life. They kept me out of trouble, God knows. But, you know, obviously my parents did, but that said. So these NGOs, they have correspondent NGOs in country. You're telling me an NGO in Venezuela, who's almost certainly getting millions from an NGO here in America, you're telling me, number one, we're not funding that. Of course we are. But number two, you're telling me Maduro is not dipping into that? The worst actors on the planet are getting American money to continue to target America. And that's the truth of this. And that's why I'd like to see a grand jury. I'd really like to follow the money here, put out a report, and let's demonstrate that all of the hyper leftist I'm not sure that's the right word, but the Bolivar revolutionaries that have begun to take over Latin America again, and I've been all throughout that region, I love it, but you got all these countries shifting hyper left, and you can guarantee that they are existing on our largesse.
Absolutely. And, you know, what you said there about connecting the dots, it's one thing to slice and dice here a little bit, expose some of it. But beyond that, I think connecting some of the dots on where this money was coming from and going to, in, you know, specifically, if you will, and who's really profiting, I think that could be even more eye-opening than what we've seen so far. Paul Morrow is back with us from theopsessed.org. Just briefly, before I get to the break here, and I want to do some stuff relating to reading and education, actually, you kind of reminded me of that, but what the hell is going on with Letitia James in New York? Because that's an attorney general that went after Donald Trump for issues relating to property, and now she's got some of that haunting her as well, Paul?
It does look that way. So a guy here in New York who I happen to have some contact with, Sammy Antar, who, you know, is a little bit of a checkered past, but there's no arguing his ability with research and numbers, has uncovered the fact that she appears to have every bit as much over-mortgaged her properties as she contended Donald Trump did in her suit against him, in that ludicrous suit where the outcome was baked into the cake, and she seems to have the exact same issue going on. Now, she won't respond to any inquiries. So while you have to give her the benefit of the doubt, at least at this point, you know, you don't have to give her much benefit of the doubt when she won't answer any questions. The problem is getting somebody's attention to look into it. But Sammy has done great work on this. She has property in Norfolk, Virginia, and she has property in Brooklyn here. And in some instances, these things appear to be mortgaged at the level of over 400% or up to 400%. And I can't imagine any bank, especially in the current environment, giving those sorts of loans where they're going to be fourth in line. The Brooklyn property has apparently got four different banks on it.
Yeah, you said four mortgages in the report. That is nuts. Yeah, that's interesting.
That's nuts. And she's got some explaining to do. And, you know, right now she's being sued. And Eric Adams all of a sudden seems to be on Team Trump. And he knows a lot about her. So this could get real interesting.
Yeah, so what's your take on that? I mean, he did he essentially, well, it looks like he kind of cut a deal, right?
Yeah. He is going to help Trump here get the migrant crisis under control, which has already begun. He said he's going to put an ICE office out in Records, which is the jail here. And he's probably, I would think, as one of the other shoes that'll drop. And when you hear this, you'll remember you heard it here.
Okay.
He's going to help Trump get rid of congestion pricing, which is a tax on driving in lower Manhattan, below 59th Street. And that will be enormously popular in New Jersey, because New Jerseyans are up in arms about that, because a lot of them commute here.
We've talked about that a little bit.
You know.
I'm familiar with that issue.
He wants that.
Yep. All right. Well, Paul, awesome to have you on. I appreciate it so much. I hope all is well. You have a great week and a great weekend, too.
All right, buddy. You too. Thanks,
check out theopsdesk.org. I do have this interesting story about a kid that graduated with a 3.4 GPA that couldn't even read. It's rather stunning. I'll share it next. Man, I'm going through Diet Coke withdrawal here this afternoon, Sue Thomas. I know you don't have any empathy for me, but
I ran, because
I was in Columbia and I grabbed what was left of my 24-pack and I took it to Columbia, and then I had the last two on the trip back this morning, and I only had like one at home. So I thought I had, like, there's an emergency stash I keep in the fridge in my office. Either I forgot to replenish the emergency stash or someone stole the Diet Cokes. I don't know. I don't know. I'm just
hard
to
say.
Yeah, but it's killing me right now. I might have to drink water. Hey, this is a terrible story. I know, right?
Yeah.
This is by a reporter. You know, I was talking a little bit about journalism, and I went to the University of Missouri Journalism School yesterday, and we talked about a little media bias with the dean, David Kerpius, up there, and had a nice dialogue. But I, you know, one of the things I forgot to tell him, because he asked me, he's like, "What are your sources? Like, where do you go to absorb news?" And I said, "Yeah, I go to the LA Times, Washington Post, Real Clear Politics, HotAir.com, you name it." I forgot to mention the Free Press. And the Free Press is really doing, I think, some of the best journalism out there. This is a story by Franny Block. I'd like to get Franny on. And it's about a kid that they're only identifying as William. He's a young kid. They're not naming him in the lawsuit. He's listed as A in the lawsuit. But William graduated in Clarksville, Tennessee in 2024. So he graduated high school last year. He could not read the words on his diploma. He ended the school year with a 3.4 GPA, and he couldn't even spell his own name. Now, I saw this story this morning. I'm like, what are you talking about? How is this even possible? Well, Franny explains it. So there's a lawsuit. This is how we know a lot of this. The district is being sued. His parents are claiming that it left William illiterate. He was denied the free appropriate public education guaranteed to all students by federal law. So this happened a couple of weeks ago. On February 3rd, an appeals court sided with the kid, concluding that he was, quote, capable of learning to read and agreeing with the claim that his lack of education had caused him broad irreparable harm. He first enrolled in 2016. He's in the fifth grade. For the next 7 years, he scores mostly in the bottom first, second, or third percentiles of his reading fluency and assessment test compared to national standards, right? In 2019 and 2020, he scores in the bottom ninth and sixth percentiles. So a little bit better, but, you know, not barely. But a year before he graduated, his reading had regressed so much he was scoring below the first percentile. So that same year, this is really amazing, and they got, you know, images and pictures and screen captures and stuff. He takes a simple writing test to spell 31 words in 3 minutes. According to the lawsuit, he could not spell half of the words, including the word school, which he wrote as S-H-C-O-O-L. Now, there is some dyslexia here, right? And we're going to talk. Oh, my God. Ethan found me a Diet Coke. Dude, he's a hero. He's a hero. So what the lawsuit says is, I'm just crack that bad boy. Ah, there we go. William's teachers were aware of the problem. They did nothing to solve it. The lawsuit says in January of 2020, so 5 years ago, he's a freshman. Special ed teacher says, ask the school. The psychologist, please take a look at William. I'm very concerned. This kid can't read. But the school doesn't do anything.
What?
And they gave him 24 hours to complete his assignment, so they were giving him like extra time, but that wasn't really a solution. So he's at home. Here's how he fools him, all right? And this is a lesson, and I know that there's ways to root this out. He goes to AI and ChatGPT. He does the assignments that way. So as a result, he continued to achieve pretty good grades on his classwork through the entire 4 years of high school, even though two things. He was illiterate and his teachers knew he was illiterate. So some of this, I mentioned dyslexia, because when he's a junior, the parents go to a specialist and he's diagnosed with dyslexia. They hire a private tutor to help him read. But that's when they decided to sue the district, because they say, and again, the judge rules in his favor. They ended up appealing it last year. And then, you know, the judge last week said, yeah, I'm going to agree with this. They argued that the school district had violated their son's due process rights by not providing him a proper education under the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, which gives school districts federal dollars to teach disabled students. Keep in mind, when the lawyers are at play here, they have to find specific legal channels and routes and paths to take. And that's the path that they took. So, again, the judge rules in June of 2023. All right. So some of this is going on when he's still in high school. In 2023, the judge says, yeah, I'm on William's side here. The school has to provide him with 888 hours of compensatory education. The school district, of course they do. They appeal, right? But three judges in a federal court, how would you?
Yes, exactly.
So then they wasted more money from the district, right? And a three-judge panel upheld the decision. One of the attorneys representing William told Fannie, the reporter, that it illustrates that the use of artificial intelligence is not a panacea, and certainly it's no substitute for actually learning to read. So that's shocking. And let's be honest here. You know, there's more people like William out there all across the country, right? Fannie's also the reporter. This is one of the reasons I want to get her on from the Free Press, because she did, and I never talked about this, she did a great report about grade inflation, and that's really become a big problem. New York, Wisconsin, Oklahoma, they recently lowered cut scores on their tests, so students appear to be performing better.
Oh, geez.
You know, even as the standardized tests nationally show that proficiency in reading and math is at the lowest level in 30 years, right?
This is part of why they're trying to get rid of... This is why they're messing with the Department of Education.
Yeah. So I guess what happens with this is, even though the Court of Appeals, like the judge rules in his favor, they appeal. The Court of Appeals says yes. What they're ruling on at this point is the legitimacy of the lawsuit. So in other words, it hasn't gone to trial, and that will happen. A jury trial will happen in August. And the Clarksville Montgomery County School District in Tennessee says they kind of comment on pending litigation. And of course, they can't discuss specifics. But what a terrible story. And, you know, in this case, the kid had dyslexia, but I've heard stories like this before. And I've been baffled on mainly the front of, how is it possible that that happened? The teachers had to know. In this case, the teachers did know. And they didn't give a rip.
How are they taking tests? I understand writing a paper with GPT and all of that stuff, but how are you taking
a
test?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know.
Reading, even if it's true or false, you have to read.
Right, but you know, I think a lot of these schools and teachers have gone away from even some of the test taking.
What?
So that's a good question. Maybe it'll come out in the wash when this goes to trial, Sue. We'll see. Scott Jennings, after Fox News at 5, just around the corner. Hang in there.
Get more at 971talk.com.